Okay, so we're going to talk about Paul and the church in Corinth and Paul's recommendation for them to renew their minds and how we can do the same. We go through a lot of trials, and we talked this week about, still not to put my hands in my pockets, we're talked about transformation and renewing our minds, and that's very important. And most importantly, we're going to talk about the passionate letter and amazing letter that Paul writes to the church in Corinth. So we're going to begin with some background information. So I'd like you guys to turn to Acts chapter 17. And in the beginning of this chapter, we read about Jews that were worshiping and reading the scriptures. And the scriptures to them was the Old Testament. And they hadn't heard of Christ yet. That's what Paul's mission was. Paul's mission was to go and proclaim Christ to them. And he was proclaiming that there was a one and true God. We see in Acts 17, verse 3, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." And there's some that believed him, and there's some that didn't believe what he was saying. And let's skip to verses 5 through 9. And we're not going to read that passage, but there we see that there are some Jews that didn't believe in Christ and his plan for salvation. Those that didn't believe, we see that they actually dragged and attacked the new converts that did believe because of their faith. I can't imagine the fear that was in those new believers just because they decided that they were going to obey Christ in physical persecution. I can't imagine that. So toward the end of chapter 17, we read Paul proclaiming God and his sovereignty, and he tells the citizens of Athens, and we can also apply this to us, in verse 27, what God wants. And it says that so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. That's what God wants. And we're going to need to remember that verse. We're going to come back to that a little later. So in Acts chapter 18, we read that Paul went to the city of Corinth. This is where we see the conversion of many people in the city of Corinth. So this kind of sets the stage for what we're going to talk about a little later. Verse 9 says, "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision by night." Or in the night by a vision. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, just so you know. And it's, "The Lord said, 'Don't be afraid, but speak. Do not keep silent, for I am with you. No one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city.'" I'm sure that Paul was afraid. I would have been afraid. He had been stoned, and he had been dragged out of the city, and he was left for dead. Stop and marinate on that for a minute. What's the highest level of physical pain that you've been through? I'm pretty sure it's been nowhere close to being drugged, stoned, and drug out of city and left for dead. But Paul didn't let that stop him. He was thrown in jail in chapter 16. He had to leave the city because he was proclaiming Christ, and some people still didn't like that. Some Jews didn't like that, so the scripture says that they stirred up the crowds. I can only imagine the level of fear that was inside of his heart. But it probably wasn't the level of fear that I felt when Mr. Parsons asked me if I wanted to do this. You know, I had been praying in my personal prayer for God to change me into the woman that he wanted me to be. And in answer to the prayer, Mr. Parsons came and asked me about this. I know I find myself afraid of speaking up and speaking for what's right and for what's true. And do you ever find yourself being afraid of being the one when there's people at work that are having conversations that are not right? Or high schoolers when you're at school and you hear inappropriate things? I know Kayla tells me constantly about things that she sees and things that she hears that are not appropriate. But we have to remember to let our voice be a light. We have to remember to speak up for what's true and can't be afraid to do that. That didn't stop Paul. He certainly had reason to be afraid. I mean, he was justified, and, you know, we could say that he could be afraid, and that didn't let him stop him. So we have to remember to speak up and let our light shine. So now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time together for the rest of the time. 1 and 2 Corinthians are two letters that Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth, like we had read about in Acts. 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to the church. It was written on the heels of improper conduct that occurred with those new converts. Some types of improper conduct that occurred was lawsuits, they abused the Lord's Supper, immorality, and sexual immorality. The sexual immorality that occurred was a man that had sexual relations with his father. And when that was found out, some people were actually proud of that. And instead of dealing with the shame and dealing with the sin, they continued to keep company with those people. They let that influence continue with them. So factions occurred within those Christians as well. Webster defines factions as a party or a group that is often contentious or self-seeking. That's really, that sounds like somebody that's determined to stir up trouble, somebody that's determined to break up what's good. So think back when we spoke a few minutes ago about the conversions of these Christians. All of these improper conduct, all of these things happened about 6 or 7 years after their conversion. That's not a long time. So we have to remember to speak for what's true. We have to remember to teach our children. We have to remember to constantly seek truth so that we can pass it down and so that nobody gets left behind, so we can continue with each one and so that everybody is victorious against sin. 1 Corinthians was written to tell them what they were doing that was inconsistent with Christ's example, and it was written to guide them in a way that's Christ-like. So I wondered what kind of conduct we see among our brothers and sisters that is inconsistent with Christ's example. And I haven't really had a lot of experience about this or with this. My dad is a preacher, and my mom, we've been at lots of different congregations, but I was kind of sheltered from that, and I didn't really have a lot of experience with that. So I asked some of the elders, and what I was told was some of the things that they see is teaching and obeying false doctrine, biblical beliefs about divorce and remarriage, as well as personal opinions that range from how we should do things in service and the use of the collection. So we have the Bible as our pattern, and that tells us how we should act, that tells us what we should do, and that should be our guide for how we live our lives. That should be our guide for how we're servants in the world. That should be our guide for how you behave at school. That should be your guide to how you raise your children. So let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. So it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you and the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. Actually, that's not the right verse. I don't remember what my verse was. Yep, sure did, thank you. Okay, so chapter 2 says that there were also
false prophets among them, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment had been idle, and their destruction does not slumber.
So we're told that false teachers will come. So we have to guard ourselves from false teaching. We have to seek his word and truth. We have to submerge ourselves in God's word. We have to seek God's word. Miss Lisa talked about that last night. We have to know God, and we have to love God, and we have to seek him, and we have to constantly do it. It's a daily thing. The Christians at Corinth had become distracted and let the temptations cause them to lose sight of the goal and their purpose in this journey. So that brings us to our first point, our purpose in this journey. And you'll find that in, well, I guess that's kind of the second point. You'll find that in the book, Our Purpose in This Journey. So I'm going to need two high schoolers. We're going to read a few verses that tell us what our purpose in this journey is. There's Margaret right there. So I want you guys to listen and to point out what our action and our goal purpose words are. So first we're going to turn to go back to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to turn to chapter 3 and read verse 18, and I'll read it out loud. And it says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So what did you hear? What should our goal, what did anybody hear any goal purpose words in there? What our goal should be? That's right. Transforming into the image of the glory. So you can write transforming. So now let's turn to chapter 4, verse 10. And that says, "Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." So what did you hear in that verse? That's right. So that our life may be manifested. All right, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 57 through 62. Okay. "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.'" Okay, first off, let me just set this up. I specifically chose these verses because these are words that Christ spoke. So these are words that we know he specifically said and intended for us to do. So verse 58 says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom.'" So in these verses, we're told to first follow him. Let's put that in. And number two, we're told to preach the kingdom. Okay, you can write, preach the kingdom of God. He says in verse 60, "But you go and preach the kingdom of God."
So now let's turn to Romans chapter 8 and read verse 29 to find out what else it says about our purpose in this journey. Verse 29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren." So what did you hear in that set of, in that verse? Any goal, purpose words? To be conformed to the image of his son, to be conformed. And then last, let's turn to Titus chapter 2. And we're going to read 11 through 14. And that says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people that are zealous for good works." So, tell me what you heard in those verses. Yes. So we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. The New Living Translation, you can write that down. The New Living Translation says, "being instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures." Some other words that I heard was live soberly. That's right, righteously. And godly. So what do you think it means to be godly? We talked about this past Sunday, yes, this past Sunday morning in our Bible class. Mr. Paul phrased it as keeping your mindset, keeping your aim, keeping your compass toward God. Jeff has described it lots of times as being God-oriented. And I like that description, being God-oriented. That's what our goal every day should be, is to please him and to act in a way that is in the image of him. Okay, so now we're going to sing a song, and it's called "Oh, to Be Like Thee." I like this song, and I chose this song to help concrete this idea. And as you sing this, sing the words, I want you to marinate on the words and apply them to your heart and think about how that can be applied to you and your goal and your purpose in this journey. Okay, so now we're going to go back to our passage in, or you should still already be there, in Titus, and read why we should live soberly. Why we should live righteously and godly. So it tells us because of salvation. It tells us because God gave himself for us, because we are his special people, because of the blessed hope, and because of his glorious appearance. So we're going to tie that all together and go to our next point. And just a little bit, we're told to truly be a certain way and not just look a certain way. This needs to be from the inside. This is a heart issue. We need to clean our heart and purify our heart and sincerely desire things that Christ desires and to be like Christ. So we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and start in verse 7. And it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Remember in Luke, when I told you to remember that verse, chapter 9, verse 60, Christ said to preach the kingdom of God. That is our treasure. That treasure saved me. That treasure saved you. This treasure can save others. I am a vessel. Jen, thank you for putting that picture up there of the vessel. Every time I kept doing the study, that came up, but for not wanting to be flustered with PowerPoints,
You did beautiful. Thank you for that. I am a vessel. My sisters, you are a vessel. How can you apply this to your life to see yourself in this situation? How can you share this treasure with others? God is using you as a vessel. So what are some ways do you think that we can share this treasure with others? It doesn't matter what your age is. You can be a mom that's at home teaching your kids. You can be a woman that's in the workforce. You can be a retired woman. You can be a high schooler. There's always ways that you can share treasure with others, whether it's talking to your classmates, whether it's talking to a patient. But I think it's very important for us to pray for God to give us opportunities to seek others and give us opportunities for an open door. I pray that every morning with Kayla. Give us an opportunity to talk to someone about you today. Give me an opportunity to talk to my patients about you. Your light can shine whatever you're doing, but you need to make sure that your light is shining in a way that glorifies God and that pleases God. So, let's see. So just make sure that you apply this to your life and make sure that you want this, that you want your light to shine and reflect Christ. High schoolers, I've seen you go up to visitors that are visiting. You've gone up as a group and introduced yourself. That is really, really amazing, and keep doing that. That's really good. I can imagine it's very nerving to come up to a large congregation and not know anyone, and you guys go and seek, and that's really awesome. So now we're going to sing another song, and it's going to be In My Life Be Glorified. And I call these songs of strength. These are strong songs of strength that I have written when I'm taking notes, and they're words that I can marinate on, and I like the word marinate because it makes me think of sitting and soaking it in. So marinating on these words is a prayer to our Lord, and possibly as an action plan for you to go about your day. Okay, so we know what our purpose is in this journey. And that leads me to our next point in the midst of our journey. And we're going to go back to, or we're still there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And that doesn't mean that this journey is going to be easy. Believe me, I know this journey is not easy. But we're given inspiration and we're given encouragement to guide us. So we're going to start in verse 8. Paul says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke,' we also believed and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we don't look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, which is this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house that is not made with hands, and a house that is eternal in the heavens. And for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." So Paul tells us in verse 16 not to lose heart. And I think Paul had reason to lose heart, but he didn't let that stop him. Life will still happen, and the effects of living in a sinful world will still happen. Grief and pain are real. Tears are real. Hurt is real. And we have to trust and rely on God to have joy in the midst of grief and pain. We can't give up, no matter what. Okay, so the suffering we experience is light, but I call it hard. Paul calls it light, but I call it hard. Compared to an eternity with God, my grandmother passed away at 95 years old. And if God, I'm gonna need the tissues. And this is not even the part I was going to cry on, really. Okay. So if God allows me to live a full 95 years, that's still shorter than eternity. So that's our goal. We need to think heaven bound. In James chapter 1, it tells us that trials will come. And Brent talked about this Sunday. Trials test faith and produce patience if we keep our sight on God. Okay, so this was the part that I was going to cry. So sometimes our decisions causes trials. And like Miss Glenda said, we try to fix it. And I stand before you as a woman that tried that. And I had a sister come to me when she saw my decision was not consistent with Christ's plan. She saw that my decision was not God-oriented, and I didn't listen. I thought I knew what was best for me. So when a sister comes to you, take heart and take and listen, because they're older and they know. And remember that you are not alone. We all have a story. And we need to rely on each other and lean on each other and talk to each other, because it's not easy. And we can't do this alone. I have so many sisters who have helped me, who helped me last night. I had a really hard night last night. So thank you. Okay. I can't even see this. Okay. So I know that there are some of you that are hurting, that are here, that are hurting physically, that are hurting emotionally, that are in a spiritual valley, that may be dealing with shame, or you may be in a season of waiting. There is power in speaking or writing your pain and releasing your pain. I have this prayer journal that I use on some days where it's too hard for me to say it. Some days it's easier for me to write my pain. So we're going to sing another song. We have Friend in Jesus. Okay, so that's one of my favorite songs. These words are so simple, but they are so powerful, and they're a reminder of Christ and how we can lean on him and how he can give us strength when we don't have it, when we don't think we have it. So my night last night was really hard, and I was like, you know what? Why did he pick me? Nobody wants to listen to me. Nobody wants to hear me. And so I went to my Pinterest page, and I've had this for a while. So I don't have social media. That's my way of the only thing that I can control, where I see things that are appropriate. And that's my way of, oh, be careful little eyes, be careful little ears. So my Pinterest page, I have a marination board. I have a think on these things board. And I purposely do that so when I pull Pinterest up, these things appear. So I told Kayla, I was like, I don't even want to do this. I can't do this. So I went to Pinterest, and what popped up was literally the words in What a Friend We Have in Jesus. So I was like, okay. So we're going to look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. And this talks about our outward man and our inward man. And you have a little section in your book, like a little graph. I need you to again. Okay, so we're going to talk about our outward woman and our inward woman. And I'm going to need feedback from everybody. If you're comfortable, I want you to tell me some things. Oh, yeah, you can flip it. Yeah. So this is to write outward man. Write outward man. So if you're comfortable, I want you to tell me some things that your outward man goes through. And I know that this is hard, but this will help show us that, number one, we're not alone. And number two, this will help concrete why we should look heaven bound. So is there anybody comfortable that's telling us, that tell pain? Gray hair, pain. Oh, so I took my shoes off to be comfortable, so I hope you don't mind. So I heard gray hair. What else? Weight gain. Anything else? You can rise over here. Sickness, anything else? Grief? Any others? D-I-S-A-P-P. Illness? I got that. I can help you with that. Talk to me later. Anything else? Okay. I've got that. Okay. So why do we not talk to each other? We have all of this going on. Why do we not talk to each other? Why do we feel like we can't? No. Is that right? Okay, you know what I mean. Anything else? And here I thought I wasn't going to get any feedback. Okay, thank you. Okay. I love you. I do, I love you. I don't know why I'm writing crickets. Disturbances. Say that again. A proud look. This is just outer man. No, wait, what did I say? Are we on outer man? Yes, we're on outer man right now. Yes, that's true. Some of those things could be. But things that we deal, okay, sorry. Things that we deal with on a physical nature, that are not necessarily spiritual related, things that trouble us. I should have phrased that better. Things that trouble us that affect our inner man. So maybe that makes more sense why those things are there. Okay, so I'm going to stop writing. I think we all get the idea. But thank you very much. But why do we not talk to each other? There are so many things that we're dealing with on the inside. And I know that that hurts. And I know the journey is not easy. But it makes it easier when we can talk to others. And we can talk to someone honestly and confess our troubles with each other. Okay, so I had a song that I wanted to sing, and it's an amazing song, but my timer says that I'm out of time, so just think about the words till the storm passes by. That's a really strong song. Sometimes Kayla and I will just belt that out in the car when we're by ourselves, and it really does a lot to encourage you. So what are some things that you can do to help renew your inner man? Miss Lisa gave a lot of really good points Friday night about things that you can do to help renew your inner man, to help you stay focused, to help you along your path of transformation. So I have a list down, but is there anything that you guys want to add or want to say? Maybe that can help somebody else? How many times have you seen me in the building? Right. Ooh, emotional vomit. You're going to hear me say that. Emotional vomit. Yes. Yes, it is. Thank you. I don't feel so bad now. Anything else? Thank you. Thank you. I like emotional vomit. That's really nice. Really descriptive. Okay, so this is an example of what my mirror looks like on a large scale in the bathroom and what my shower looks like. So I have little cards written down with some phrases of songs and some scriptures. So these are what I see when I'm brushing my teeth and washing my face in the morning. This is the first thing I see when I'm taking the shower. That's my prayer time. That's one of my prayer times. So I see that, and I can meditate on that versus thinking about useless things. And I think one thing is filling your time with things that are God-oriented and that are good and that are true. Seeking things that are good and seeking things that are true. Yes, Michelle. Oh, no. I agree. I have my space in my house. That's the one place where I can go where it's quiet. I can close the door and nobody knows that I'm in there. It's a closet that I made into my prayer room. So when I'm having a really hard time, I just go in. I have a candle that's in there. I have a huge floor pillow, and that's where I do my war work. And I highly encourage you, I'm going to get the journal Miss Lisa talked about last night. I highly encourage you to get a prayer journal. It is amazing to go through and look at the prayers that you wrote. And they don't have to be long prayers. They can be something that's just simple, but write what's on your heart to God. Sometimes it's easier to do that versus speaking what's on your heart to God. So I did give you ladies a section, one page in the back. So this is my marination page. So if there's phrases that you heard or verses that you heard this weekend, you can write them down. You can cut the page out, make yourself a visual board, And then I have another page for you to write a prayer out to God, to what's on your heart. Maybe a prayer for, if you know any of these ladies personally that are dealing with this, write a prayer for them here and save it. And that's really powerful. Or you can give it to them. Sometimes when I'm writing cards or sending cards to someone, I'll write a prayer and I'll put that in the card. And it's really powerful to receive a prayer from someone. So that is all I have. This has been an amazing weekend. Thank you, ladies, for coming. Thank you for all your encouragement. Thank you for all of your sweetness. Thank you for all of your strength. I hope you had a beautiful weekend, just like I did. I hope you were encouraged, like I was.
That's it.